sort of a First Amendment concern. You want details?
Yes, if you don't mind, I would share that with the listeners. That'd be good.
Okay. So the other night was homecoming at Humboldt University.
We should give some background. I'm sorry to interrupt. That you are a student at HSU, and you are also a proud member of the Lumberjack staff, the student newspaper.
Yes, you could say that.
Okay.
all right. So the other night was homecoming. And after the game, a bunch of people were at an off-campus party. Apparently, there was some sort of large brawl at this party, and two football players wound up being stabbed in the stomach. They both had to be taken to Mad River Hospital, where they both received surgery and are now recovering. They're in stable condition. At least that's as much as we know about their condition right now. I think it was it yesterday? The athletic department had a press conference, and Dan Cullen, during that press conference, made the first acknowledgement of the football players' names, saying, you know, hey, we hope JJ and Chris start feeling better soon and stuff like that. And, okay, there for the first time, you know, the media had names of the people who'd been involved from an athletic department source. And, you know, of course, it doesn't take a detective to figure out, hey, you look at the football roster, you find out exactly who he's talking about. And News Channel 3 ran footage of the press conference, and the Lumberjack wrote an article that mentioned their names. So we went ahead and we went to press. Everything got printed. We're sitting on the papers, and this morning our department chair comes in and says, hey, you know, hang on. And what had happened was, there was some concern that if we ran the name of one of the football players, he would be, he or his family or his mother could face reprisal from somebody. And we were, you know, that, of course, that gives us pause because everyone's safety is our primary concern. If there is an actual valid concern that someone would be hurt, we wouldn't run the story at all.
Sure. And what day of the week is the Lumberjack usually published, released?
It's released on Wednesdays. Usually on Tuesday night, we put it together, and then we send it off to Western Web out there in Samoa.
Okay.
So, you know, the safety thing raises some eyebrows. We're like, okay. And we're hearing from the president's office that this lady's been in touch. I think it was the mother of Chris, I want to say. And so she calls up, and she says that she fears for her safety. And, of course, the president's office and the athletic department are both, you know, like, okay, well, you know, if your safety is a concern, you know, we'll try and hold the paper, and, you know, of course, that should be, you know, a top concern.
Sure.
And so we were sitting there, and we were trying to figure out, okay, you know, why does she feel that way? And we called our Arcata PD, we called the University Police Department, and we were like, hey, is there any chance that, you know, this there's some truth to this, that she is in danger? Because she wasn't, one of our reporters, the guy who wrote the story, tried contacting the mother and was hung up on. And I wasn't there for that conversation. I missed that. But, you know, so we were like, okay, we called APD. We called EPD. They said, you know, they couldn't confirm or deny that there would be any potential for violence. And so we were kind of left in a bind there. They said that they were hesitant to release names of the victims because it may impede the investigation and make it harder to identify and apprehend suspects. And... okay, not really sure how that works out, but it's a party line. That's fine. And so we're faced with kind of a dilemma. We call Hank, who you know, is the editor for the Los Angeles Outpost, and also the faculty advisor for the Lumberjack. And Hank races up there.
That'd be one Mr. Hank Sims.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so we're sitting there, and we're like, we're looking at this, and we're saying, hey, the administration is telling us not to distribute the paper that we're actually sitting on. It was down there in a van, being ready. It was like ready to be distributed. The driver for the van was in the office with us, you know, just kind of waiting to see, like, hey, can I actually put this out or not? And the other half of paper was in a locker, like a storage unit that's controlled by the dean of the College of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences. And so we're sitting there, and we're like, all right, is there a safety concern? And, you know, all we've heard is that the mom is concerned for her safety, and nobody else has told us anything.
And you, I know you mentioned this, so I'm sorry that I'm re-asking it, but you heard that the mother had these safety concerns through the school administration. That's the you never talked to the mother.
We did talk to the mother, but we could not. She was not willing to tell the person who did who wrote the article what her safety concerns were. She said she just, you know, felt threatened, or that she may face continuing violence, or her son might be the victim of further violence if his name was published. And we were like, well, why do you think that? And we didn't get an answer. We got hung up on.
Okay.
And so everything we did hear, yeah, from that point had been from the president's office and the athletic department. So we tried to reach out to her again. Our editor-in-chief, Lori, called the mother and was like, hey, is there, you know, like, what are you basing this fear off of? Is there a legitimate basis? Like, who told you that you would be in danger? Is this just like a feeling that you have? Why do you feel that way? And it was much the same story as before. At the same time, Hank calls Tom Chapman because Hank carries a little bit more weight than we do. He was able to get through to Chief Chapman. And Chief Chapman told Hank that he had not given any admonishments or warnings that anybody may face continuing violence. He said, to the best of his knowledge, there is no threat of any potential for like further violence, and that they were not aware of anything that could endanger anyone at all. And at that point, we determined, you know, all we've got right now is a fearful mother who is concerned for her son's safety for reasons that we are unclear on, and we have a police chief telling us, you know, there's no imminent danger that anyone could be aware of at this point. And so we decided to distribute paper, and at that point, we were supposed to go talk to Ken Ayoub, the dean for our department, or for our college. We went there, we talked to him, we were like, hey, you know, we heard from Arcata PD, there's no potential threat. And so he said, okay. And he's like, I got to call, you know, President Richmond. He tries to call President Richmond. Richmond doesn't pick up. And so he's like, all right, we have to go talk to him in person. And our business manager, Garrett, you know, he's like, well, can we have the other half of the papers that are supposed to go out to, like, Eureka? And he says, no. Like, we need to find out what President Richmond wants to do first. And at that point, we're like, why? That doesn't matter. And that's actually, that would be prior restraint if President Richmond decided to tell us we couldn't have the papers. And it had been explained to us by Dean Ayoub that President Richmond was willing to cover any expenses incurred by us not distributing Lumberjacks, because obviously if you don't distribute the paper, you're putting your sponsors out of a lot of money. Of course, the printing costs for as many papers as we print is a huge burden. And so, you know, President Richmond said, hey, I'll cover it. But that didn't really factor in our decision at all. Obviously, we were a little bit more concerned about why hold the paper if there's no reason to hold the paper. And so, anyway, Dean Ayoub and Lori went off to talk to President Richmond. And I went to our department chair and was like, hey, apparently President Richmond wants to make the final call as to whether or not we can distribute the paper. And Vicky, our department chair, said, hey, you know, there's actually a section in the California Education Code that says straight up that is illegal. And as I was walking over there with the law book and the page in front of me, everyone got out. And, you know, just like, hey, yep, we're all good to go. So it was very fortunate. Yes, we had been asked by the administration in the beginning not to print the paper or not to distribute the paper. But I think as soon as it was realized that we were already distributing half the papers, specifically the campus and Arcata part, like the portion of the papers, and that there was actually no legal ground on which to hold the paper, you know.
They caved.
It was a done deal, yeah.
Right. Let me ask a question. You may not know the answer to this. Obviously there are, you know, the Constitution of the United States provides journalists with, you know, with a great deal of leeway. But does that apply to, wouldn't university rules, and I realize you just said there was a university rule in place that protected you, but wouldn't university rules sort of supersede that?
No, California is one of the growing number of states that has shield laws for student reporters. Most laws have, most states might be a stretch. A lot of states have shield laws that protect reporters from forms of censorship or prior restraint. California has one of the more broad shield laws that protect student journalists. And, not only is it written into the California Education Code that student journalists can only be barred from distributing and publishing materials, only if there is a credible threat to the campus community, which in this case we determined there was not. You also have the California Shield Laws that protect reporters.
All right. Well, this must be an exciting day for the Lumberjack.
It was a more interesting morning than most.
Right, because I mean you're dealing with an issue that professional journalists would deal with in your capacity as student journalists. So awesome. All right, well, Eli, thank you very much for taking some time to explain that to us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for caring, Larry.
All right, take care, man.
Have a good one.
All right, there's Eli Roll from the Lumberjack. You can find the Lumberjack in various places in Arcata if you want to pick it up. You could read the article, the very article we're talking about right now. All right, it's now 46 minutes after 4 o'clock. We're going to take a break and be right back. You got it on K-Hum.
Ben Doan joined Coast Central Credit Union in 1967.
I've been a member for 46 years.